Well, warm Mother's Day welcome to all of you who are here at our West Des Moines campus, especially to those of you who are sitting in the overflow rooms right now. Thank you for doing that and for being here today. And also a warm welcome to those of you watching this sermon live on video at all of our different campuses around the Des Moines area, in Waukee, in Johnston Grimes, in Des Moines, in Ankeny. Sally and I, my wife and I, were really excited to be up at Ankeny yesterday to worship up there for the wedding of Brent and Bridget. Brent and Bridget are both on staff. They met on staff here at Hope, at Hope. So that's the deal. You get a job at Hope and you find your spouse. It just works that way. So it was a great celebration and we're really excited. Brent's on the youth staff at the Ankeny campus and Bridget's on the youth staff at the Johnston Grimes campus. And so it's the harmonizing of two campuses coming together in their holy matrimony. We're excited for that. And it was great to be at the Ankeny campus worshiping there live yesterday. So hello to all of you who are seeing me on the screen right now. I brought along some beauty with me today, so it looks a little better on the screen. And I want to also say hi to those watching at our local sites. Small groups of people, gatherings that meet all over the area, the state, Ames and Forest City, and also, of course, our new friends in Denmark who are in the midst of planning a revival there that we're excited about, and I was blessed to see a glimpse of a couple of weeks ago. So anyway, that all said, that video clip that you saw came from our men's ministry. They've been watching Cinderella and studying it and going through. No, it comes from the movie Cinderella that was released last week, which tells the classic Disney fairy tale of the story of Cinderella. When she's young, Ella and her mother have this conversation in this depicted scene from the movie, early on in the movie. And the mother wants to make sure, because she knows she's dying from a physical ailment, and so she wants to make sure that her daughter, whom she loves so deeply and dearly, understands. She says, here's the secret to life, Ella, that you would live with courage and with kindness. That you would have courage and that you would be kind, which the more you think about it, the more you realize how deeply rooted those are as biblical concepts. And not just in some sort of tangential way, but in a very central sort of way to the teaching of Scripture. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, the Bible commands us over and over again. In fact, it's the most repeated command in the Bible, is that we shouldn't fear, that we should live with courage. Like God saying to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 9, in that Old Testament book, don't be afraid, Joshua, but be strong and have courage. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. You have nothing to fear, not because the world isn't scary, but because I'm with you. It's difficult to get from once upon a time to happily ever after, especially when we recognize that we aren't living in a fairy tale and we don't have magic dust around to turn a pumpkin into a carriage and glass slippers into some magical way of having Cinderella meet Prince Charming. When we come to the kind of cold and harsh realization that we're living in a very real world, not a fantasy world, not a fairy tale, we stop and pause and think, well, here's once upon a time, and I had all these dreams and hopes and aspirations, and now my happily ever after has been completely diminished. It's evaporated, it's gone, and especially maybe on Mother's Day, on a day like this, when family relationships come right up before us, and for many, many people in this church family, Lutheran Church of Hope in all of its different locations, what that means is an all-out celebration. You have much to praise and thank God for today. You praise and thank God for the blessing of your mom. I certainly do. My mom's sitting right over there. Hello, Mom. I'm so glad that you're here. This woman has more to do with me standing up here because of the seeds of faith that she planted in myself. And even my brothers, she did it for, but for me too, and along the way created a relation, it led me to a relationship with God, which has blessed me over and over and over again. And she did so just the way she's wired up. She's a thinker. She's the daughter of a school teacher and a superintendent of schools in Ketchikan, Alaska, and eventually a college dean. And so she was their only child, constantly into books and reading and thinking. And she's always been that way with us. Early and often when we were kids, we would go deep. And her teaching the stories in a childlike way to us, in a way that we could grasp, my brothers and I. But I think she has a lot to do with the fact that we're all pastors now, and that we're all, because it's just normal for us, growing up in her house, to have that those seeds of faith planted deep inside of who we are, and to be always to be able to ask our questions of her, and her to encourage those questions the way a good teacher, the way a good mom does. It's an incredible blessing. Thank you, Mom. We have a lot to celebrate because there are moms like that all over this church family. There are thousands of them in our church family who faithfully point their children to the ageless promises of God's word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. But it's hard, which is probably all the more reason why we need these good moms to get from once upon a time to happily ever after. And some of you are here today, even a significant minority of people who are here today who say, I don't have anything to celebrate today. I have some grief, some very serious grief to think about today because you're facing your first Mother's Day since your mom has died, or even more challenging for several women in our church family over the years is to have to say goodbye to a son or a daughter who tragically passes away. If we're going to be honest as a church, and that's a high value for us, you hear me talk about that all the time, we're not going to play church, and we're not going to just have a surface Mother's Day where we pretend everybody's perfectly happy and we put on our church faces and we act like we're supposed to, whatever that supposed to is, act when we come into church. We're going to tell the truth, and we're going to say we have much to celebrate today, and we also have significant portions of our church family who have some need for healing and have some wounds that they carry because of the grief, but not just the grief. Sometimes it's the broken down relationships. Sometimes they had a mom who didn't do what God created moms to do. Moms who, taken to extremes, abandoned kids or even abused kids. And we're not immune from that as a church family. We have a lot of people who continue to hurt from those abusive situations or those situations of abandonment or the relationships that have dissolved. Mother's Day is a very raw kind of day for a lot of people in our church family. So here's what we do. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, the body of Christ rejoices together and we suffer together. So we don't ignore that there's something to praise and thank God for today. There absolutely is. But at the same time, we don't ignore the need for healing and the fact that there'll be people up here after the service in all of our campuses to pray for any of you who want prayer today. You've come to a healing place and you've come to a place of celebration. It's not either or, it's both. And it's both at the same time because we have a God who breaks through with his light into the midst of our deepest darkness. It's hard in this upside down, fallen, sinful world, broken world, lost world. It's hard to get from once upon a time to happily ever after. It's a challenging road, not just for Cinderella, but for all of us in a very real way. It's not something that we're immune from. And a lot of you know this, but a lot of you probably don't. It was 2 years ago, today on Mother's Day. It was almost the ideal Mother's Day, wasn't it? I mean, the day before we'd been in Kansas City to see our son who was there on work, and we got to hang out with him that evening. And the day before that, we were at a track meet for our other son who was competing at our daughter's college. So it all came together. And even though we're empty nesters, we were able to see all three of our kids in a span of just over 24 hours. And then we drove from Kansas City on Saturday night to get here for the Sunday morning services. And I preached, and my mom was here, and we were going out for Mother's Day lunch. And just as we're walking into the restaurant and we're waiting because it's Mother's Day, Sally's phone rings and she gets the call. What was on the other end of that call, Sally?
Well, my dad called to tell me that morning my mother had gone into cardiac arrest. She had been revived, but for the last 4 days she had been going through several procedures and 34 blood transfusions to try to stop a bleeding ulcer, and they couldn't do it. So it came to the point where they had to do an emergency surgery to remove her stomach, and there was only a 50% chance that she would survive the surgery. So I ran to the airport as quick as I could, I hopped on a plane, and I didn't know when I landed if my mother would still be alive or not. Praise the Lord, she was still alive when I landed. My brother picked me up, my dad took me to the hospital, we walked into the ICU, and I walked up to her and I saw her laying there with so many wires and tubes in her that I could ever imagine before. Her abdomen was left open because it would have taken one more blood transfusion or even more in order to close her back up, and they didn't think that that was possible. So she had to lay there with a lot of medicine for the next week or so in order to be able to go back in for surgery to close that up. And that was a really difficult day. I had no words when I was in there. About a week and a half later, I went back to Chicago, and my mother had since had the surgery to close her abdomen up and was slowly starting to come out of some of the medication where she could squeeze a hand just a little bit to know she could answer some questions that way, and that was all she could do. And so I walked into the room with my dad, and my dad said, "Karen, Sally's here." And with all the might and all the courage that my mother had, she took her hand and she lifted it up like this. And my dad said, "She hasn't done this yet, ever, in this position." And it just showed me how much my mother loved me. And it meant the world to me. I thought, you know, here I came to come see her, comfort her, and she gave me just a wonderful gift.
I've actually seen her lift her arm in strength when I was in high school and I was dating her daughter, and so, you know, don't. I'm just kidding, Mom. She's watching online right now. Just a little joke. Karen Schwaller grew up on the north side of Chicago in a suburb called Arlington Heights. She met Joe Bartel, who's a city kid from the north side of the city. They fell in love and got married in 1963. They were blessed with three children, Susan, Sally, the middle child, and Joey, the baby. There they are in the 60s, and the next picture in the 70s, and the 80s is the one I was really interested in, because that's when I met Sally at church, of all places, at our high school youth group. It's hard to get from once upon a time to happily ever after. As you heard Sally describe her mom, I can also testify that her mom has this wonderful north side of Chicago combination, which seems like that they wouldn't go together, but they do, of strength and of sweetness. She's both at the same time and always has been able to bring both to every room she's in. And that's what reminded me of her in that Cinderella clip at the beginning of the movie, is the mom says, "Have courage, be a strong woman, Ella, Cinderella. But be kind, too." There's a strength and a sweetness that just mixes together at the same time that is biblical. I started by talking about how it's biblical that God says to have this courage in the face of our fears in this dark and messed up and fallen world. But the Bible also teaches in a very profoundly centralized way the importance of kindness. In fact, it's the manifestation of the love that Jesus commands as the fulfillment for all of the Old Testament laws. 1 Corinthians 13 describes this grace-based love in this way. It says, love is patient and, come on, Bible scholars, patient and
kind.
It's patient and kind. It is not envious or arrogant or boastful or rude. There's this kindness that leads to repentance, the Bible says. Kindness is a huge part of the biblical teaching of the way we're supposed to live our lives. So then the question becomes, well, how do you do that? How do you do that in a world where it's hard to get from once upon a time to happily ever after? How do you do that when our kids in this community are distracted by so many different things and pulled in so many different directions? And if we aren't careful, we're going to raise a generation of human doings instead of human beings, because we've scheduled them so tight and with so many activities and such a need. I don't know, is it their need or our need as parents that they be successful in a worldly sort of way? Isn't there something more to their lives for this? Shouldn't there be even higher goals than them making the varsity starting lineup or the all-state team, which are It's fine. We're not against that at all. It's not like you have to throw one out in order to embrace the other. But isn't there something more to life than that? Shouldn't there be a topic of conversation at the family dinner table that goes beyond just how did practice go? Shouldn't it go beyond what kind of grades are you getting in school? Shouldn't there be more to us as families than this? Shouldn't there be more substance? Shouldn't there be a deeper well? Isn't there something that lasts longer? That helps us find our way in this fallen world from once upon a time to happily ever after? Oh, but there is. And it's not too far off from what Cinderella's mom said to Ella as she's on her dying breath. Have courage and be kind. Don't be afraid, but love one another, the Bible says. When you do this, you find the essence for which you've been created to be, to live, to function. No matter how much you get or don't get, no matter how much worldly success you achieve or don't achieve, those things don't last anyway. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever, forever. So here sit before you two people who maybe you think, okay, so Mike and Sally, they're going to get up there and they're going to share all of their parenting advice. You say, we know their kids, we know they aren't perfect, and all this, but they turned out pretty good. So they're going to tell us how to do it. No, we are clueless on how to do it. Our kids are out of the nest and have flown away, and we still don't know how to do it. It's the biggest challenge of our lives. We say that all the time just to try to encourage each other. It's the hardest job we've got, by far, by far. You're no picnic either, but it's the hardest job. You're awesome. And so are our kids. But early on, Sally, how did you feel about it when you became a mom when you were 14 years old? Or 24, yeah, I'm just trying to help. Yeah, if you're doing the math.
Thank you. The birth of our kids is just... Oh, just an amazing memory for each of them, for me. You know, when they're born and they get to wear these little hats, these are actually my kids' hats when they were born. This is Jonathan's, this is Danny's, and this is Christie's. And those are so special to me. I just treasure them because when they were wearing those hats, that's when I first met them in this world. And so I treasure those forever. And so when I had Jonathan, our oldest, I remember holding him. He's this baby, you know, about this big. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is a really serious new job that I have to be a mother. And the responsibility was almost overwhelming because all of a sudden I thought, how am I going to get this baby who's in my arms from here to there? How am I going to get him from this newborn cap to a graduation cap and on from there? So I started to pray about that. And we looked at a lot of different parenting books and tried tons of different things to do with our kids to try to figure out how to stop babies when they cry and all these different things. And the best thing that we found out was that if we make sure that our children have a good relationship with their Lord, that is the best thing that we could do for them.
Our poor kids, they get discipline whiplash because Sally and I'd read a book and we'd institute a new discipline policy at home. And, and then somebody from our church would say, you should check this book out. We'd read that book and there'd be a whole different approach. And they'd be like, what's going on here? You went from the strictest parents to the loosest parents to the in-between parents to all these different things. And so we would wander around. We'd take everybody's advice. We'd bring it home. And somewhere early on, though, along the way, we sat down and we had a heart-to-heart and we said, okay, of all the things that we can give our kids, what's our goal? I mean, what's really our goal for these kids? What is it that we want for them? And Sally, you're a praying mom. Do not underestimate the power of a praying mom. And I know you pray for our kids and you have since before they were born. What is it that you pray for? What is it that's our deepest hope and wish for them? What's your prayer for Jonathan, Daniel, and Kristen?
Well, I do pray for our kids every day because as much as I would like to Velcro myself to them and go with them wherever they go and keep them safe, make sure no one bothers them and they're doing the right thing, I can't. But I know that God can. And so every day I pray for my kids when they were little going to school, when some of them are now in older school and now in their jobs. I just pray that God places in their heart that they know that Jesus is walking with them throughout their day. They know that Jesus loves them with confidence and that they know that they've got a couple fans at home that are always cheering for them no matter what. I also pray that God lets them see and know what their God-given talents are so that they can use those in their life for God, so that Jesus' light may shine through them. And I pray also that God would just guard them, guard their hearts and suit them with the armor of God, because life is hard and the world is not always very nice. And I also pray that God keeps a close hand on their future and blesses them.
In the movie Cinderella, the mom says to Ella, I'm giving you the secret of life, Ella. Have courage and be kind. And that's it. But how do you give kids that? You want them to have courage and you want them to be kind. You want them not to be afraid because God is with them, as the scriptures say over and over. And you want them to love one another the way Jesus commands as fulfillment of all of the laws of God. You want them to do that, but how do you do it? Just by saying, go do it? I don't know how it is with you and your kids, but when you tell your kids to do something, the older they get, the less likely it is they're going to do it. And so by just saying, be kind, be kind, be kind, at a certain point, they have to choose whether or not they want to. So we have, as parents, we have to root them to something deeper. Even in the midst of all of our flaws as a mom and a dad, even in the midst of all of the places where we make mistakes, where we don't do it right, where we don't discipline with consistency, or whatever it might be, one thing I can assure you is that our kids will tell you that they were loved unconditionally by her and by me almost all the time. Don't underestimate the power of a praying mom to get their kids from once upon a time to a happily ever after that this world can't even touch, no matter how successful in this world they become. So how do you get them from here to here? Well, you figure out what your goals are for them. And for us, it was this. It was our Bible reading for today from Galatians 5, that they would know the different kinds of the fruit of the Holy Spirit above all else, that they'd know a love, a joy, and a peace, a patience, a kindness, and a goodness that comes from God, a faithfulness, a gentleness, and a self-control. Because if our kids have this, they're rich, no matter how much of the world's stuff they have or don't have. So our goal has always been that they would get these things. But it's hard to give your kids these things. I mean, what parent doesn't want their kids to have more of these things? And this isn't just sort of the world's definition of these things. This is a joy which is untouchable, a biblical joy which circumstances don't have any effect on whatsoever. This is a peace. Jesus says, the peace that I give you is not a peace that the world gives you. It's a peace which Paul will go on to say to the church in Philippi that passes all human understanding, that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, to give them a patience, a kindness, a goodness. We can't give our kids those things. And if they just do what we do, they may or may not follow it, and there's no guarantees. The only way we know is to make sure your kids are rooted in Jesus Christ, to make sure they know him, to do what our moms and dads did for us growing up, to bring our kids to church, to connect them to the stories, the ageless stories of Scripture, to teach them how to pray, to give them gifts that will last way longer than all the trophies they may or may not get before they graduate from high school, get from those caps to those caps and beyond. To give them something that's going to last, that's going to have substance in their lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who doesn't want the kids in this community to have more of those things? Who wouldn't want them for ourselves? This isn't just about what we can pass on to our kids. This is what God offers to us through his Holy Spirit. By planting these seeds of faith, we connect our kids, we connect other people to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes those seeds of faith and produces abundant fruit, a whole orchard of fruit that will continue to bless them over and over and over again. There are other families around here who are doing this in powerful ways. The one that we thought about this week who just really stand out. You know, we've had all sorts of different people tell Mother's Day stories in the year 20 plus years that I've been here. We've had matriarch, elderly mothers, grandmother types who share their wisdom of the years. We've had young mothers who give us a fresh perspective on what it's like to have new babies. We've had people who are grieving the death of a child. We've had people who are grieving the death of a mother. We've had people who've been abused and found healing and grace and also forgiveness for their abusers through the power of Jesus Christ and his love. But today, we want to point you to this mom right here, to Dawn Schneider. And Dawn's sitting right over there. I'm not going to embarrass you, Dawn, and make you stand up. But everybody knows who you guys are anyway, who's been around this church for more than about 4 minutes. This is Dawn's husband, Mike. These are their two wonderful sons, Kellen and Corey. Here's Kellen when he was young. I know, Kellen's probably watching this at Belmont right now. Sorry, Kellen, but that's the picture I found. And that's Corey. This isn't how Corey and Kellen look now. They're all grown up. Kellen's in college. Corey's a senior at Valley High School. And Corey is the reason you probably... How you doing, Corey? Good, me too. Corey's probably the reason you know this family, even though they're all pretty extroverted, or at least three of them are. Whenever Sally and I are sitting over there at this 11 o'clock service, the Schneiders are all... If they don't have something else going on Sunday morning, and if they do, they'll be here Saturday night or Sunday night. And so we'll look over, and at the most inappropriate time, Corey will shout out, "Hey, Pastor Mike! Hey, Sally!" And I shout right back, "Hey, Corey, how you doing?" And we wave and we connect. It wouldn't be worship at Hope if we didn't have that connection. And we're not the only ones, are we? To know this family is to love them. Here's what I see in Kellen and Corey. I see people who have these gifts. Not perfect. I don't mean to put anybody up on that pedestal. That's unfair. But I see young men who know the love of God, and they share it with a genuine authenticity to the world around them, a joy, a peace, a patience, a kindness, a goodness, a faithfulness, a gentleness, and a self-control. When Mike and Dawn started out and established their family and dreamed about having kids, I wonder what their dreams were. So Kellen's born, and he had his own challenges like every child does. And then Corey's born with special needs. And he's a huge part of our special needs ministry here at Hope called One Body, which is an amazing ministry that a lot of you are involved in. But a lot of people get this part wrong. They say, "Oh, Hope is so good for those special needs kids and those families." And I hope we are, I guess. I don't guess. I hope we are. But it's the other direction, right? Anybody who's spent any time around the One Body ministry knows this. It's not so much what we do for them, it's what they do for us. It's that they point us to the better life, the life that God created us to live with a genuine authenticity. Imagine being a mom and a dad and having dreams for what your family would be like, and then, well, it's hard to get from once upon a time to happily ever after. Hear it from Don's perspective in this Hope story on this Mother's Day.
I was blessed to be a nanny to a family that had four children. The youngest one had Downs, and the mom was an amazing mom. And she would ask, "What is it that you dream for your children?" And so by the time I was ready to have my own family, I had already been thinking about it. My dream for them was that they would know Jesus and that they would make him known. So people would know Jesus better because they knew my kids, and that they would put more into the world than they took out of it. So Kellen was born on Labor Day after a full day of labor. And he was everything that we had hoped. Kellen is the delight of my heart. He can make me laugh like nobody else can. Corey was born 23 months after Kellen. We found out almost right away that he had some issues. He had heart issues right off the bat. And when he was 4 months old, he wasn't holding his head up. So we took him to the pediatrician. He just wasn't accomplishing his milestones at that point. So one thing led to another, 6 trips to the Mayo Clinic, and we never got a diagnosis, which was very hard in the early days because we just wanted to know why. why are we having these challenges? And we wanted answers. At one point, he was on a medication that made him angry, and the doctors kept telling me it wasn't the medication. And because we didn't have a diagnosis, I didn't know, is this what our future's gonna hold? In the early days, it was so hard. He would pull my hair and he would scratch at me and he would just shriek all the time. And it was, I would pray myself through 5 minutes at a time and say, God, I can't do six, but I can do five, let's go. And we would just do five back to back to back, and then we'd get through it. I was sitting in my quiet time and I was really hashing it out with God. And I was just really asking him, what am I gonna do here? What are we going to do? How are we going to get past this? Because it really felt like it was impassable. And God made it so abundantly clear to me. I heard him say, I love him more than you will ever be capable of loving him. Just trust me, I've got it. And that's when I intentionally surrendered Corey to him. And I said, okay, now he's yours. You're just gonna have to tell me what to do. Life changed a lot from that moment on. Once I surrendered and gave it to him, God started to bring things to us that I couldn't manufacture, I couldn't research, I couldn't dig up, I couldn't go find. They were just amazing opportunities for him. I also realized how big God's shoulders are, that he could hold me up when I just couldn't do it anymore.
Imagine that. You know, it's no surprise that Kellen and Corey walk with the fruits of this Holy Spirit. It's no surprise because of the parents they have. And it's not because of the parents themselves. It's because the parents connect their kids to these ageless truths, to these gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's how they walk with genuine authenticity in this way. It's not because the parents read a book and how to do it. It's because they've surrendered, in Don's words. Surrender our kids to you, Lord. I want your Spirit to be in them. Even more than my Spirit as a mom or a dad, I want your Spirit to be in my kids. That's what produces the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what gives our kids the best possible life, this side of heaven, between once upon a time and happily ever after. Well, time marches on, and Corey has grown up, and he's the senior in high school now. And, you know, after services or before services, Corey will find me, and he'll say, hi, Pastor Mike, where's Sally? A lot of kids around here say that. They want to know where Sally is, because she pours into a lot of kids here, and she loves them. But he'll say, are you preaching today? And I'll say, yes, when I am. And he'll say, good, which always makes me feel encouraged. Thank you, Corey. I'm glad you don't say, oh, no. Thank you. But Corey grew up, and this last year as a senior at Valley, he was nominated to the homecoming court. And then on a holy night, that's what I'm going to call it, Kingdom Breakthrough Night, at Valley High School football stadium, the announcement of the Valley High School King was made, and his name is Corey Schneider. Yeah, way to go, Corey. Hey, King, there you go, nice job. We have much to celebrate. We rejoice together and we suffer together. Dawn has a small group here at Hope that comes alongside of her and blesses her, and she blesses them in so many ways. We do life together as a church. We love each other in this way. It's a picture of what a family is supposed to look like, to bring God's love into that family and to share it freely and with grace to the world around us. Listen to the rest of Dawn's Hope story.
It's been a really good year. Probably launched in the fall when he was nominated to the homecoming court at Valley. That wasn't something I would even have thought to dream. You know, it wasn't like, oh God, this would be so awesome. And the hearts behind the nomination are probably the part that spoke to me the most. You know, Mike was volunteering with a mom, and she had said to her son, oh, it's so cool that they nominated Corey for homecoming king. And he just looked at her and he said, Mom, they didn't nominate him because he has special needs. They nominated him because he's the nicest kid in school. And then when they crowned him, to hear the stadium, they didn't do it because they felt sorry for him. They were every bit as excited for him as anybody would imagine. You can't dream those things. One of the things that some people don't know about Corey is that we were told early on that he would never speak. He attended ambassador training, which meant that they helped him work on a speech. He gives his speech now all over the city to, you know, a classroom or hundreds of people. He would not miss a worship band rehearsal if it were up to him. He's at Hope for every one of them that he can attend, and he is worshiping with everything he has while he's there. And it fills him up, it brings him joy, and I've heard that it brings the people who get to watch him joy too. Ever since Corey attended Indiana University and the University of Iowa, he wanted to go to college.
Congratulations on being accepted to Bethel, Corey.
It's a special program that they have at Bethel. Basically an inclusive learning opportunity for people with special needs. There's just no question that God's hand is all over it. And that, again, that was a gift they brought to us that we could never even have imagined. It's just all God. I think the whole journey of motherhood is about growing that fruit. And for the young moms with the little kids, it feels like you have none of the above. And I know that I felt like I had none of the above. But it's like running a marathon. As you continue to do it and continue to go through the process, I do feel like all of that fruit does come over time.
Give God praise for the testimony of Don Schneider. Thank you, Don. We love you guys. Thanks for loving us. It's just good to be church together. As Don said, especially to those of you who are young moms, it's not about you. It's not about you being perfect. It's not about you coming up with the perfect system. It's about you connecting your kids to the Holy Spirit and to everything that God wants to fill them up with. It's about connecting them to something way more valuable, way more significant, way longer lasting. And even when you try, it doesn't mean that it's going to take or that it's going to hold forever and the kids won't rebel and wander away. And that becomes part of the sadness of once upon a time to happily ever after sometimes too. A lot of you as Christian parents have done everything you possibly can to plant those seeds of faith, but your kids have rebelled and wandered off. Keep the faith. Don't underestimate the power of a praying mom or a praying dad or a praying church for those kids. And watch what God does. Keep the faith. God continues to move by his Spirit for them and through them and for you and through you. It's hard in this world to get from once upon a time to happily ever after, but I'm here to tell you today on this Mother's Day, whether you walk in on Mother's Day filled with joy, you say, bring on the celebration, we have so much to praise and thank God for in our moms today, or you're the one who walked in and said, this is a mixed emotion day for me at best. Or one that's filled with bitterness and sadness. Regardless of how you walk in here today, God's Spirit and the power of his love, transformational power of his love, is here for you to bring healing to you. There'll be prayer partners after the services who will be here to pray for you. They're here for you to celebrate with you in prayers of thanksgiving and to pray for you for prayers of healing if that's what you need. Churches that are healthy rejoice together and they suffer together. And that's what we are. We're a church that embraces that fully because it's tough. 5 weeks after Sally's mom was in the hospital, Sally and our daughter Christy went to visit her in Chicago. Tell us what happened, Sally.
So at this point, my mom was in a rehab center. And so Christy and I went to Chicago to go visit her. And when we walked into the room, we were so happy to see her, but we were brokenhearted because at this point she had lost about 20 pounds She was in a wheelchair and couldn't walk, and that was not the case when she went into the hospital right before the surgery. She was learning how to eat without a stomach, and yes, that is possible, and she does a great job with it. And she also struggles from Parkinson's disease. And so sometimes she gets very frustrated because she tries to tell us things, but she can't always communicate it as well as she wants. So we try to figure out what she's saying. So Christy and I walked in there, and we had just tears coming down our faces because we thought, how could this happen? How could this be happening to her? And so we enjoyed our time together and really ended up having a great day and a nice time together. And Christy at one point said, hey, Grandma, do you want to sing a song? And so my mom said, Rainbow, Rainbow. And I was like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow? No, Rainbow. So every song I could think of that had rainbow in it, I kept saying, this song, no. And finally I said, Mom, are you talking about the rainbow connection that Kermit sings? Yes, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we used to listen to it in our basement. We had the album, the big record album of it, and we used to play it on our stereo in the basement. And so she wanted to sing that song, pulled it up on the phone, and Christy and I started singing with her. And she actually sang more than me and Christy and I, because we again had tears coming down our faces, because it was such a touching moment, because my mom believed every word of that song. So we sang it again, then we sang it again. And nighttime came and we had to head back home, and we sang it one more time before we left. And with my mom, starting that day, she taught me so much about courage and her faithfulness. See, I'm way, way past these graduation caps. I'm like really far over from them. And my mom is still teaching me. And the courage that she has each and every day to get up and try new things. She's still in her wheelchair, and she can eat, which is a great thing, but her Parkinson's disease is difficult at times. She just shows me how strong she is. But she has the faith that grows every day. I'm just convinced of it. We pray at meals together, and at the end of the prayer, you say amen, then you pause and you wait. Because then my mom's going to start praying, and you need to get comfortable, because she goes on and prays for quite a while, which is an awesome thing. The funny thing is with all this that's going on, my mom is happy, and she has a living angel walking beside her, my dad, who takes just awesome care of her. But when I talk to her, she says, I'm happy. I'm so happy. And it's because she's so close with her Lord. And what a great example she is to me.
She still hasn't walked. I mean, I wish we could tie this all up with this great, wonderful, perfect ending this side of heaven. But still, our hope and happily ever after is well placed. It's well placed. I'm here to tell you today some really good news. There is a happily ever after. It's not because I wish it upon a star. It's because God promises it to us. It's because God promises to overcome the Parkinson's and the ability not to walk and the being bedridden and in a wheelchair. God promises to overcome what you need to heal from. God promises to overcome our hurts and our brokenness. God promises to overcome our sin and our death through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your hope in happily ever after is not a fairy tale. It's a well-placed hope. And with that hope in mind, it changes the way we live in the midst of this fallen, broken, dark world where it's so hard to get from once upon a time to happily ever after. The Rainbow Connection song was written by somebody who said it's a spiritual song. It's all about hope. It's all about faith, and it's all about hope, and it's all about love. Huge biblical concepts. It's all about a well-placed hope in the happily ever after. The lover, the dreamer, and me. One of the things that I love the most about the song is Sally will call her parents, as she does often, and a lot of times when she's talking to them at the end of the conversation, she'll say, Mom, do you want to sing? And every time her mom says yes, well, almost 99% of the time, yes, let's sing. And so then I hear my wife sing with this sweetest voice, not professionally trained, but this genuine voice, filled with love and joy and peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. sing the Muppet movie song about rainbows. And on a good day for her mom, she'll put it on speaker. I can hear her mom singing along. She's watching right now from Chicago, from her bed in their living room that she and my father-in-law have created for her. This curveball the world's thrown their way since 2 years ago today. And yet she still sings her song. So that at the end of every phone call, when Sally says, "Mom, do you want to sing?" She says, "Yes, let's sing." And then they sing. So Sally, as we close this service, do you want to sing?
Sure. Hi, Kermit.
Hello there, Sally and Pastor Mike. Hello, everybody.
Thanks for coming over. Do you want to sing a song?
I would love to, Pastor Mike. I wore a tie just for you.
Don't be green with envy,
nice.
Kermit.
I like that tie and the other one that you have.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank
All right,
you.
Hit it, maestro. There's so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide.
So we've been told, and some choose to believe it.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it, and look what it's done so far.
What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what do we think we might see?
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic.
Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that called the young sailors? The voice might be one in the same.
I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. La da da dee da da dum, la da 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 dee da.
Thank you, Kermit.
Oh, you're welcome, Sally. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Kermit.
Bye,
Happy
everybody.
Mother's Day.
Cinderella's mom said she'd found the secret to life for Cinderella, to have courage and to be kind, but Paul says, No, the secret is this. I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Let's say that together. I can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And you can. Your hope in happily ever after is well placed. Happy Mother's Day. No matter how you came in here, go out in peace and in love and in joy. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.